Thank the Lord for that Savior. It's because of Him that we're here. It's because of Him that this life is made possible, a life of victory. That the day that we celebrated yesterday can have hope in it, can have the hope of being able to live a victorious life. The peace and joy that this Savior came to proclaim, to give unto mankind, I'm thankful for that. Desire your prayers this morning. Thankful to be here again. Thankful for the opportunity of another meeting. Like to begin in Psalms, the 18th chapter. Psalms 18, and beginning with the 30th verse. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Failed to read the 29th verse. Like to read that as well. Says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. The burden that the Lord has laid upon me this morning is being taught to war. It says here that He teacheth, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. And it says He teacheth my hands to war. I read in this a dependence upon the Lord. It is by Him that He causes me to run through a troop. It's by Thee that I have hope of victory. By Him that He setteth my feet, maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. Being taught to war. You know, I believe that it is inherent to human nature to have a degree of instinctive fight within a person, within an individual, to rise up and defend myself, to defend what I feel is rightfully mine and so forth. Consider Peter. Remember whenever Jesus was being taken up, what was Peter's reaction? They came there in the garden to take Jesus. He drew out his sword, didn't he? That was his natural reaction and his instinct to war. But Jesus told him that those that live by the sword will die by the sword. Peter, put up your sword. This warfare that we're fighting goes so much beyond the warfare that's fought with carnal means, fought with swords and shields and so forth. But there is a degree of fight that's instinctive to a man. But yet there's a scripture that says, I believe in Ecclesiastes, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. This battle, if we're to win it, is going to require more than my own strength, more than my own wisdom. The Lord's going to have to teach my hands to war. Because this is a warfare that's not instinctive to me. It's not of my own natural inclination or instinct to know how to war against this enemy. It's a spiritual warfare. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, then would my soldiers fight, that I wouldn't be delivered unto the Jews. But my kingdom is not from hence. Our warfare is spiritual. Scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down of imaginations, and so forth. That's the warfare that we're up against. In a natural sense, there are war strategists, and those that study war, study how to gain victory against the opponent. In a natural sense, we have war strategists, those that plan the course and the strategy of our wars. But you know, no number of war strategists, no number of men could get together around a table and come up with a strategy to get victory over the enemy of our souls. No number of people, no amount of strength. The battle is not to the strong. It's not by might nor by power, Scripture says, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This warfare is not going to be won by those means. But I believe we'd all agree this morning that we're in a warfare. We're in a battle. I've been feeling it, and I know you have as well. And I want success and victory in this warfare. Matthew, the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 12th verse. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. According to the Greek, this is rendered, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly assailed, and the violent seize it. Jesus said in another place, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it. The kingdom of heaven, down throughout time, since it was established, and Christ came, said, my kingdom cometh not with observation, but my kingdom is within you. Since that time, the kingdom has been forcibly assailed. And all of us who are endeavoring to press into it feel that opposition against us. The force of the enemy battling against us. But the violent take it by force. It's going to require a determination on our part to be able to gain the victory. Thought about the battle, some of the battles that we fought in the United States. Remember the Battle of Iwo Jima? Reading about it, perhaps some of you even remember it. A small island in the Pacific that the U.S. thought we could gain victory over. It shouldn't take more than 5 days. That was their estimation of the enemy. Oh, may we not underestimate the enemy of our souls. They came and they launched a beachhead there on the beach and began letting out the waves of soldiers. And they realized that they were up against something far greater than they realized. Something, an enemy that was far deeper entrenched than they ever envisioned and realized. Took much more than 5 days. It took the better part of a month to be able to gain victory in that. The enemy had their bunkers and their network of tunnels and all under the ground. They were entrenched. The weapons of our warfare, you know, the enemy sometimes will entrench himself in areas of our lives, places that we're doing battle with them against, but we know the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. To the pulling down of those strongholds. The U.S. Marines began facing that fire, that opposition. They lost, of, I believe, 70,000 Marines. They lost almost half of them. 28,000 Marines. They had to wonder, I'm sure, is it worth it? Is it worth all that we're going through just to be able to gain this little barren, desolate island of rock and nothing much there, and yet giving 28,000 of our men to be able to claim victory on this island? You know, the enemy will sometimes bring the question to us, is it worth it? Is it worth it to have to forcibly assail myself against the enemy? Is it worth it in this area of my life that may seem so trivial? And the enemy's coming against me so hard, is it really worth it? Think about Nehemiah. There, as they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Judah was beginning to weary of the opposition that they were receiving, and Nehemiah realized that. And he met with them and called them together and encouraged them. Said, men and women, remember the Lord your God. Remember that He's mighty. Remember His acts and His works. And fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons and your daughters, your wives. Fight for your houses. Recalling unto them the value and the importance of the warfare. May we never grow weary in battle, in coming against the enemy of our souls. Remember the words that we're familiar with, the words that Winston Churchill spoke. Could I get some water, please? The words of Winston Churchill shortly after the Battle of Britain. Whenever the enemy had come and bombed them night and day, nonstop, they had lost so much of the infrastructure and the lives of those in the city. And yet his words were, after that, now the intention of the enemy was to break their will, to break the determination of the people. Night and day coming against them, you know that would have an effect upon you. To see day in and day out, nonstop, an effect on my mind and my will. The enemy knew that, and that was his determination to break their will. And yet Winston Churchill, in a desire and attempt to rally the people of Britain, said, never give in, never give in, Never, 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 in nothing great or small, large or petty, never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming force of the enemy. Even though it may seem like a small, desolate, barren island, may not seem like, at times, thank you, worth the effort that I have to expend to gain victory over it. Folks, may we never underestimate the power of the one that we're up against. Never give the enemy an inch. Even though it may seem I've looked and I've fought for days and I've only gained a few feet here on the beach, it's worth it. May we realize the consequences of giving up. The consequences of saying it's not worth it. Because it's more than just this little battle. It's more than this setting that I'm in. Lord, help me in the heat of the battle to lift up my eyes and see beyond the moment. To realize that it's my soul that I'm fighting for. And not just mine, but those that are looking on. Those of that I have influence over, my children. Those that are coming along behind me. Oh, may I hold the banner high. May I hold the flame high and never let it go out. To realize the consequence of giving an inch. You've heard the saying, you give the devil an inch and he'll take a mile. If I am ever of the mindset that I think I'll back off. I'll back off in this area of my life. The enemy will take that and so much more. It's worth it. There was a leader, Mongol leader in the 13th century, Genghis Khan. He was known for having conquered more territory than anybody in history. Conquered more people, more land than anybody in history. And those his techniques and how he did it. It said that he used intimidation. He was ruthless. Those that he came against, the cities that he came and bombarded and came against, he was ruthless. He killed everybody inside it. He would threaten. As the word of that would travel across the countryside in the path that they were marching on, the word would arrive at the city before them that they were coming up against. And whenever they arrived at that city, the will of the people was already diminished against fighting against them. He was intent on conquering their will to fight. Used intimidation. He would have his men carry 3 torches apiece, so that at the night as they looked out across the walls and they looked at this army that was coming against them, they saw a far greater force than what was really there. The scripture says we're not ignorant of his devices. You know, the enemy uses the same kind of tactics. I want to remind us this morning that he is a defeated foe. The victory has already been won and promised to us. But you know he'll come against us with such a show of force that he'll try to cause us to lose our very determination to fight. Break our very will to keep holding on by thinking there's no way. There's no way that I can stand up against this force. I remind you again of the words that Winston Churchill spoke that said, "Never yield to the apparently overwhelming force of the enemy." The enemy wants and desires to break our will and determination to fight. Thinking again of Iwo Jima, you know there was much training that went into that. And before any battle, before any war, there's extensive training that goes on. Preparation for the battle. There's boot camp and months upon months and years of training, trying to prepare them for the harshness and the realities of what they'll face on the battle. Trying to prepare them for the psychological warfare that they'll meet, the physical force that they'll come against. You know, the Lord's trying to prepare us as well. For the battles, every battle that I face, the Lord is designing to prepare me for the next. Designing to prepare me and build my faith. The scripture says from faith to faith. The Lord's wanting my faith to be built. And the things that he allows to come my way, that I not see them as stumbling blocks, but that I'd use them as stepping stones. Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Each battle is a new battle. I can't expect to be able to go into the next battle and say, just because I had victory in the last, I'm okay. But the Lord wants us to realize our dependence upon Him. And to illustrate that, I want to call to your remembrance Jericho. And the battle after that in Ai. Remember, they had won the battle at Jericho. The Lord had given them that, and the walls, He tumbled down before them and they went in. The next battle that they came up against said, "Let us not send everyone, for we're well able to take the city." They thought that they were still able and weren't looking unto the Lord as a source of their strength and dependence to take the city. And we know that they had sin in the camp as well. The Lord wants us to have our dependence and our trust fully in Him. That's the nature of this warfare that we're to fight. Lord, teach my hands to war. Lord, help me to know how to make battle, to make war in the areas of my life that the enemy has come against. Maybe there are areas that the enemy has gained some ground, that he's planted his flag and said, "This is mine." Lord, teach my hands to war. Lord, help me to never back off, to never say that, "Okay, I'll let you have that area. We'll make a league, an agreement. You keep that area of the land and I'll keep this." Think about how the Lord dealt with the children of Israel. The Lord was preparing them throughout the wilderness as He was bringing them up to Canaan. You know, it seems almost ruthless, perhaps at times, the way the Lord dealt with the heathens. Those are the nations around. He commanded His people to drive them out, to kill them, man, woman, child, animal, everything that lies in the path, to destroy them. Break down their groves and tear down their walls and their altars. Leave nothing remaining, whatever you find of the enemies. The Lord had a purpose in that. It may seem to us that it was a bit harsh, we could say it that way. Lord, even the innocent ones, even those of the women and the children. But the Lord designed everything for a reason. He said, "Don't leave any of the enemy behind, because they'll be a snare. A thorn in your side, they'll be unto you a snare in the generations following." And the Lord wanted it to be something that would be a spiritual application for us today as well. You know, it can be easy for us to accept or settle for not gaining complete victory. For me to say, "I fought this and maybe it's not worth going all the way. Maybe I can accept a truce. Maybe I can accept a league here and stop a little bit short of going all the way." But the Lord said, "Destroy it. Destroy the altars. Destroy the enemy and everything that's there." Psalms, the 18th chapter. 18th chapter of Psalms and the 37th verse. "I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me." What did David do whenever he came up against Goliath? Did he take any chance that Goliath might be able to rise again? Remember whenever the Lord gave Goliath into his hand and he fell at the hand of David by the stone and the sling? Remember what David did? He went and drew his sword and he cut off the head of Goliath. He wanted to make sure there was no rising of this enemy again. The Lord has given me the battle. He's given me the enemy. And it said here, "I didn't stop until I had pursued and overtaken the enemy. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise, and they are fallen under my feet." I believe that's the mindset the Lord wants us to be in. That I will not stop short by the grace of God, Lord, until I get victory in this area of my life. That I'm not content to stay where I'm at. Lord, I need complete victory. Lord, give me this city. I've been encouraged lately studying some about Caleb. Remember, Caleb was one of the 12 spies that was sent out. He was one of the two, along with Joshua, that came back and said, "We're well able to take this city. The enemy's there, but yet the Lord has given it into our hands." He saw the same enemies. He saw the same walled cities, but yet he was looking at it through a different perspective. He remembered that the Lord had promised to give it into their hands. You read later, as they rejected Caleb and Joshua's report, he wept for the people. Nevertheless, the Lord turned them back, as we know, into the wilderness. But after that time, after the 40 years was up and they came back into the Canaan land, the Lord had given the promise unto Caleb that you'll be able to have your possession. And Caleb came unto Joshua and reminded him of that. And he gave Caleb the choice of the land that he wanted. You know what Caleb asked for? He said, "Give me Hebron, for there are giants that live there." He didn't ask for the valley, didn't ask for the area that the victory was already won. But yet he said, though I believe he was in his 80s, 86 years old or so, but yet he said, "My strength is still as my youth." The strength that he had to make war, it wasn't his physical strength, but yet the eyes of his faith, the trust that he had of the Lord. And he said, "Give me the city of the giants, of Anak, of Hebron." That was the choice that he made of the city that he wanted. "Lord, help my faith to take that in. Lord, help me not to run from the giants, but Lord, teach my hands to war. Lord, in this particular giant, it may be peculiar unto me. Lord, teach my hands to war. Lord, teach me to know how to do battle in this area of my life. Lord, I cannot stop short. I cannot settle for anything less." The Lord told them to drive out all the inhabitants of the land that were before them. Caleb, in obedience to that, obeyed. The Lord gave him the city. The Lord requires a strict obedience and faith on our part as well. Folks, the battle's not of our strength, but it's of a complete dependence upon the Lord. Isaiah, I believe the 30th chapter, says their strength is to sit still. And said, "You have erred concerning this, because you went down to Egypt to ask of their help, thinking that the horses," I'm paraphrasing, "thinking that their horses would save you. But it said, your strength is to sit still. Your strength is to wait upon the Lord, and your dependence to be upon Him." 2 Chronicles 20 also reminded of an instance there. Jehoshaphat and Judah, the enemy was coming up against them in great force. Greater force than what they had. You ever feel that way? You ever feel overwhelmed whenever the enemy is showing himself against you? The Scripture says, whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And this was evidenced in this case. They cried out unto the Lord and said, "Lord, behold how the people are come to cast us out of the inheritance that you've given us, that you promised us. Lord, we have no might against this great company. Don't know what to do, but Lord, our eyes are upon thee." The enemy of our soul is ruthless, just as the Genghis Khan that I mentioned was ruthless. He stopped at nothing. His intent and desire is to cast us out of the inheritance the Lord gave us. Remember the promise the Lord gave. He said, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I'll give unto you." It required action on their part. It required faith. Every place that you're willing to set your foot down, every place that you're willing to say as Caleb, "Lord, give me this mountain. Lord, give me this area that's mine. It's not because I see a strength in my own self, but Lord, the promise is there. Lord, you said if I would step out and say, Father, give me this mountain, that it would be mine." And I wonder, I'd like to ask us this morning, as David did as he was going to check on his brothers in battle, how goes the battle? How goes the battle in your life? Do you have the victory? Do you have the level of victory over the enemy that you desire? That you know is there? Or are there some areas that maybe I've drawn back? Maybe I've found myself skirting around the walled cities. saying, I've got all this other land that I'm satisfied with. Or have I said like Caleb, Lord, here's a mountain. Lord, here's a place in my life that the enemy is entrenched. He's gained a foothold, Lord, and I don't know how to gain the victory over it. I want to be able to say, Lord, teach my hands to war. Not to stop short and say, I'm satisfied where I'm at. Because the Lord has so much more for me. If I could just step out. And I believe that many times my biggest enemy is right here. Is self. Lord, help me to learn how to step out every place that I set my foot down. You said you'd give it. So Lord, by faith, I set my foot down in this area of my life. I set my foot down on flesh, on self that you shown me. Now Lord, you do your part. Lord, give me the mountain. As the children of Israel came up to the river, they had to set their foot down in the water, and the waters parted. The Lord wants us to be able to go forward in faith, to never accept the accusations and lies of the enemy, that we can't gain the victory, that he's greater than we are. We see many that have fallen by the wayside. Yet David said, though 1,000 should fall on my side and 10,000 on my right hand, yet will it not come near unto me. Genghis Khan would also take the heads of those that he conquered in battle. He'd stack them up against the city walls of the city that he was ambushing, so that those looking out would look and see the damage and the defeat that had already been done. Didn't stop there. He took the heads and he launched them over the city walls, trying to break the will, to break the determination. What's the reason for me to even fight? Is it even possible anymore in the day and age that we live in to live a holy and a pure life? Is it even possible to still hold to the truth in my life? Lord, look at all the others. And the enemy's right there to bring the doubts and the fears and the accusations. But may we be encouraged this morning to know that victory is there. Victory is ours if we'll, by faith, accept it. Scripture says the enemy is an accuser of the brethren. But yet he's cast down by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Lord, teach my hands to war against him, that I might have victory. I'd like to consider some of the consequences of us drawing back. Why was Goliath even a problem? Consider David having to go up against Goliath. In Exodus, we won't read it for the sake of time, when the Lord told them to drive out all the people from before them, it said that they didn't do that. They left a remnant of the people, and it said because of that, this is found, Exodus, Judges, the second chapter, 23rd verse, it said the Lord left those nations before them, and he didn't drive them out before Joshua and the people. Because the people were willing to accept a league, willing to say, you serve your gods, you accept your idols, and I'll live my life. You can have your place. It doesn't seem important for me to go all the way. It seems a little bit too much or a little bit too harsh. The Lord said, because of that, it'll be a snare unto you. Because of that, he left the nations that were there that continued to be a snare unto them down throughout their lives, and not only theirs, but down throughout their descendants' lives as well. And so we see those of the Philistines that were there in the land, intimidating, gaining victory over the children of Israel, and David, the Lord used to come and give victory over that. But had they, in obedience, gone all the way and gained the victory and said, I will not stop until they're all driven out, I wonder if the story could have been different. And I wonder in my own life, Lord, what are the consequences of me drawing back? Of me saying that I can partake of a little bit of the world. I can partake of and allow the world to have its own place. And I'll still worship my God and I'll still hold to my traditions. And yet we can live together in harmony. The Lord said it will not work. The Lord said you cannot do that. Break down their altars and their groves. Lord, teach my hands to war. I want above all to be able to have victory in my life. To be able to make heaven my home And I don't want to present a stumbling block in the lives of my children. As they come along behind me, they find, here's another giant that Dad left. And now I'm having to battle with it. Now I'm having to struggle with it. I would like to read a few verses in Judges. Judges, the second chapter. Beginning with the 10th verse. This being after Joshua had died, it said also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Those that had seen the Lord parting the rivers, the Lord giving them Canaan as they came into it, now the time had come when they were gone. They were passed off the scene, and it said another generation arose after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. 23rd verse says, therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered them into the hand of Joshua. Second verse of the next chapter, third chapter. This is only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Now another generation had arisen behind Joshua, those that the Lord had delivered the Canaan land unto, which knew not the Lord nor his mighty works. And they turned to the idols and the gods of the land around them. And now it said that they must be taught war. I believe that we must be taught war. Must our lives to know how to do war against the enemy of our soul. More specifically, I'm thinking of our children. If I should not learn myself how to make war, look on my life and they see a giant that Dad never dealt with. They see a city in my life that Dad always just seemed to avoid. They'll see the problem. They'll see the attitudes. They'll see the issues. They'll realize that the giants are there. That the cities are still walled and Dad never dealt with it. Dad never sought and found a place that he gained victory. Though they might see the weaknesses and they might see the things that I struggle with, oh, may they see me, my hands making war, realizing that Dad is looking unto the God of our fathers, looking unto the one to give him victory. If I shouldn't do that, I fear to think of the generation that would arise after me that wouldn't know how to make war, wouldn't know how to drive out the enemy because their father didn't learn how to make war either. And I know the Lord can teach them just as he did here. But I want to be able to make straight paths for my feet, lest those that are lame be turned out of the way. What are our children learning of the way we're conducting our warfare? Are we conducting it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? Or have we stopped short and said, I'm willing to satisfy, or I'm satisfied to have this in my life, satisfied to allow this problem to remain and continue year in and year out? Or do they see me by the grace of God gaining victory, step by step gaining victory, drawing closer to the Lord? I'd like to close in 2 Timothy, familiar scripture. 6th verse, for now I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I have fought a good fight. I want that to be my testimony when it comes my time to leave this world, that I fought a good fight. I've conducted a good warfare. I've endured hardness as a good soldier. Allowed the Lord to teach my hands how to do war. And all the difficulties that Paul faced, the Lord had to teach him how to do war. In the unique, and I say unique, there is nothing I suppose truly unique. But it says that many others of my brethren have accomplished the same thing, have endured the same sufferings. But in the places that I go through that seem unique to me, Lord, teach me how to do war. Teach me the weapons, Lord, and how to use them. Teach my hands to war. Lord, may I never be content to stop or to fall short of gaining the true victory, the complete inheritance of the land that He's promised for us. Again, I'll ask you, how goes the battle? How goes the battle in your life? Are you gaining the victory? Are there some areas that you've said, I can allow that to remain? Lord, help us to never, never, never give in. Never give in to force, to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy, but to press the battle to the gates. To not stop until the enemy's head, so to speak, is on the ground. That it's been severed. That I know, as it said there in Psalms, that this enemy shall never rise again. For the Lord's given it unto me. I desire your prayers. Amen.